We are really delighted to have Andrea share with us this morning as she brings the communion message. So thanks, Andrea.
All right. Hopefully you can hear me okay. I was so encouraged by the testimonies and then just the themes that run along as God kind of works through the stories. And just before Kate shared about the fog, I had seen above people's heads as though God was like opening clouds, like this access to heaven above people. And yeah, when you put that together with the fog, you know, like if it's cloudy, for us it can feel so foggy. But God just has this clarity where he can just, and I just felt him like, you know, as we look up, God can part heaven and we can see the sun. And the cool thing about fog, because I'm a little bit nerdy about this, as some people will know, is that fog clears because the sun is quite bright above a layer of fog if you've ever flown above it. And the sun literally comes in and heats up the cloud and starts turning it back into gas. And in doing so, clears holes through it. And that heating then starts to reach the ground and us, and that stirs up wind that actually clears the fog. And so when it gets above 5 knots, just so you know, the fog will clear. But I just felt like God's encouragement of like when we look up, instead of looking at the fog or worrying about what we can't see ahead or waiting for fog to clear, just looking up. And I heard that in your story too, Lynn, just looking up and being aware that he's working up above that to clear it. And he's doing it through the sun and the Holy Spirit moving. So let the Holy Spirit move and clear the fog. So yeah, be encouraged. That was cool. And so this week, I've been asked to bring the communion message, and God's very kindly talking to me about sin, which is super fun. So after Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, the Bible outlines for us all the ways in which humans have sinned against God since that time, and you'll be aware there's quite a number of stories there. And the problem with sin is that it has separated people from relationship with God, because God's holy and he can't be in fellowship with sin. And so I'm aware this concept of sin can still feel a bit icky though, right? Like it's just a bit yucky and we don't love to talk about it. And so it can be really uncomfortable to think of ourselves as sinners, particularly if we're trying really hard to do good or be good or do better. And so sometimes we can even try telling ourselves that perhaps we're no longer sinning at all. But there's a really helpful definition that I found from John Piper from the Desiring God website for sin. That sinning is any feeling or thought or speech or action that comes from a heart that does not treasure God over all things, all other things. So sinning is any feeling or thought or speech or action that comes from a heart that does not treasure God over all other things. And so if we accept that definition, we can see that there are times where we all are sinners. We do not always treasure God over all things. And that's certainly true for me. There's plenty of times this week I recognize that I did not treasure God over all things. But sadly, we do have to face the reality that as humans, we do have hearts that do not treasure God over all things at all times, and that is what makes us sinners. And we could get a tattoo, but personal choice. And that's where our faith in Jesus comes in to save us, and why we celebrate communion as a community so regularly. But I have to be honest, I have found it's taken me years to even begin to understand what Jesus has done for me to sort out my sin. And at times I've sat there feeling really quite guilty about it all. So as I've sat there with the cup and the bread, I've been beating myself up internally about my past sin and recent sin, and I've obsessed about personal failure. I've assumed I've had control over outcomes that I really didn't. And all the while I've felt quite bad that Jesus had to die to save me from it all. And so as I prayed about today's service, I felt God's encouragement to myself and anyone else here who may have felt guilt or shame during communion. And I felt God encourage us to revisit Hebrews 10:19-22. Therefore, believers, since we have confidence and full freedom to enter the holy place, the place where God dwells by means of the blood of Jesus, by this new and living way which he initiated and opened for us through the veil, as in the Holy of Holies, that is, through his flesh. And since we have a great and wonderful priest who rules over the house of God, let us approach God with a true and sincere heart, an unqualified assurance of faith, having had our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. And I read that and I was like, wow. Like, we can have confidence and full freedom to meet with God, to enter this holy place, to be present with God, and that we can have a true and sincere heart with a full assurance of our faith. And I recognize that I haven't always felt that way when I sit there with the bread and the cup, that I haven't always felt a full freedom and a confidence. This is God's invitation to me and you, that we can come before him with full confidence and full freedom. And I felt that he wanted to just remind of how God actually achieves that. How does Jesus achieve that? Why can we come with full confidence and freedom? And so in Old Testament times, God's presence on earth was enthroned in a room called the Holy of Holies, which was in a really flash tent that the Israelites took with them on their wilderness period. The entry to the Holy of Holies room where God was blocked by a thick veil that separated God's presence from the sin of the people. And once a year, the high priest will perform specific rituals so that he can enter that space and give a sacrifice of animal blood on behalf of the community and clear all their sins for the last year. Wouldn't that be nice? If anyone randomly entered the room to try and see God, they would die instantly because of their sin. And eventually, the Holy of Holies was established within the second temple in Jerusalem, behind a very tall curtain. Fast forward to Jesus' time, and the night before he died, he served communion to his disciples. Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body given for you." And then Jesus said, "This cup of wine, in that case, is the new covenant in my blood poured out for you." When Jesus died on the cross in Jerusalem and his body was finally broken, we read in the New Testament that the curtain in the temple that was separating God from the people was torn in two from top to bottom. In a full circle moment of self-sacrifice, Jesus acted as our high priest and provided his own blood as a sacrifice to cleanse our sins, and he let his body be broken. God was no longer contained within the Holy of Holies, and so all who believe can now be in personal relationship with God anywhere at any time. And this is why Hebrews 10 says, we are to have confidence and full freedom to enter the holy place, to stand before God. It's by the blood of Jesus and through his flesh that we can do that, because our sins have been cleansed and the veil has been removed. And so, now we hold communion to remember what he's done for us by drinking from the cup to represent the blood of Jesus and the bread to represent his flesh. Our hearts have been sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. We can eat and drink in peace with gratitude that our sins will no longer keep us from a direct relationship with the one who loves us unconditionally. So with joy, you are invited to come forward with confidence and full freedom to receive the communion emblems and take them back to your seat. And we'll wait for everyone to be seated and take communion together.
cup of blessing that we pledge, is it not a participation in the blood of Christ? The bread that we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ?
So as you have your bread and your cup, you can come before God with confidence and full freedom that this is his body given for you. Let's eat it together. And that this cup is the new covenant in his blood poured out for you. Lord, I just pray that we really soak in what you're saying here, that we can have confidence that we are, in full faith, we are cleansed from our sin and that the veil has been torn so that we have direct access to have personal relationship with you. We can come right to you and tell you everything and we can listen directly to you. Lord, that we would walk that out with a lightness and a joyfulness that speaks of who you are. And that we just remember that when our minds start to spin, that we lay that down. And that, yeah, you've sprinkled us with your blood to create a clean conscience, guilt-free. In Jesus' name, amen.